Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International and Compass Group International, and welcome to my expat podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about why do people want to move abroad? Why do people actually would consider moving to another foreign country away from some place like the United States or Australia, New Zealand, or even England? What's their state of mind and what pushes them to actually move abroad? Because that's a subject that not enough people talk about. And it's actually quite common in the reasoning behind that. And it's common in the sense of it's not much different than someone's, let's say, moving from somewhere in the Midwest that's super cold, like Minneapolis. They're tired of the harsh winters. They're tired of those blizzards, the black ice. They're tired of the massive amount of humidity. And these individual or this family wants to move somewhere that's warmer and better climate, like in Arizona, like in Tucson, or like in Phoenix, or even Las Vegas. It's not much different than that, except you're just going to a different country. So I'm going to talk more about the subject, about the state of mind and the mindset of these individuals when they go through this process, and also take you through my process of why I may also made that same exact decision. And the reason why I'm timing this podcast and doing it now is, you know, here we are, we're approaching June 2021, and as the world is getting vaccinated, we're going to see a pickup in international, not just domestic travel, but international travel. And those of you that have been basically cooped up at home for the last year to year and a half, now you're going to be able to actually make some of these, you know, some of these dreams into reality. And what are your next steps? And then you also, based on what I'm telling you today, you may also relate to some of the reasons why I have decided to move overseas and why I made the decision decades ago. The first thing is that when I look at the last 20 years and talking with different clients and talking to developers and also working with House Hunters International, is why do these people move overseas? Why would someone that comes from like a beautiful city, let's say somewhere like in Southern California, they live in a coastal beach city like in Malibu or somewhere in South Bay, maybe in Redondo Beach or Manhattan Beach or even Newport Beach or Huntington Beach or even down south like in San Diego. Why would people want to move from a beautiful place like that into a different country? And we actually had a lot of these individuals back in the early 2000s that were moving to Latin America, but more specifically Costa Rica. And I was one of them. And the big reason is that as you get older and older, so right now, my demographics tend to lean more towards millennials. And then the next two demographics are my Gen Xers and also my baby boomers, which kind of come even. So for the millennials that are listening to this that are saying, well, I live in LA County, I live in South Beach, I live in Miami, I live in Austin, and this place is great. I'm never going to move here. But things change when you get older. And that's the one thing that the Gen Xers and the baby boomers can relate, because I'm a Gen Xer myself. And I remember a long time ago, when I was a kid, my parents used to love to take my brother everywhere. We traveled everywhere internationally. And when we were young, you know, it was kind of a pain in the butt because we just didn't quite get it. But our parents wanted us to be more well-rounded. They wanted us to experience other cultures. And I thank them, you know, for doing that. But in addition to international travel every single summer, so every single summer for 3 months, we were gone. We left the country. But also, during a non-summer, during regular school session, we would do a lot of domestic travel. And we would go everywhere around the West, the Southwest, you know, and we've even drove one time. When we used to live in Tucson, Arizona, we actually drove from Tucson, Arizona to Sarasota, Florida to visit my great-grandmother. And that was quite an experience too. And it was really cool just going through all those different states and seeing all the different highlights and eating in different restaurants that were very famous in those locations. But the thing is that when you have lived in these cities, you tend to just get tired after a while. And going back to my dad's story is, I remember when I was very young, we were hiking. And I think we were either in Redwood Forest or Sedona National, or Redwood Forest. I think we're in a Redwood Forest. And my dad's like, wow, it's so gorgeous here. It's so beautiful. I would love to have a cabin out here. My brother and I look at each other, we're like, there's like nobody here. He's like, well, that's the point. And my mom said the same thing. She's like, oh, it's so nice and peaceful. It'd be great. And as we're talking, my brother and I were like, we would never want to leave the city. I mean, it's no way we would ever want to live somewhere so remote and there's nothing, there's no people around. My dad said, you will change as you get older. As you get older and older, and as you want to filter out the noise, you filter out people. Because when you're young, you have lots of friends. I used to have tons of friends. And as I got older and older, I tend to lose more friends. And for the millennials that are in your maybe your early 30s, you're probably seeing this right now. You know, you're looking at the times when you're in high school, then in college, and after college, and you're seeing your friend count slowly dwindle. That now you're getting to a point where you're like, I only have 10 really, really close friends. Then when you get to your 40s, it's, I only have 5 really, really good friends. And then now I'm fast approaching 50, and my best friend is my wife, and that's it. You know, I still have other friends, but my best friend is my wife. So your friend count dwindles because you want to cut out the noise. And cutting out the noise is really one of the main factors of why individuals and families of all financial levels, whether you're poor, middle class, or super wealthy, they just want to get away from the noise. They want to get away from the people. They want to get away from the environment. And that was the main reason why, I mean, people would ask me, when I lived in California, I lived in Newport Beach, and I lived in a beautiful home, lived right by the ocean. And people would ask me, like, why would you want to move from here? Why would you want to go to a place like Costa Rica? Because Costa Rica was, at that time, that was my home base. And my home in Newport was actually my second home. And I said, because I needed to get away from this. And they're like, well, what do you mean? You want to get away from the beautiful weather? You want to get away from the beautiful white sandy beach of Newport Beach? I said, no. Actually, what I was looking for is I wanted the beautiful weather. I wanted the beautiful beach, but I wanted elsewhere where I can cut out the noise. What I mean by that is I want to be around a different type of environment where, let's just bluntly put it, I want to get away from douchey people. I want to get away from arrogance. I want to get away from stupidity. I want to get away from all the unnecessary drama that comes with living in a place like Newport Beach, where keeping up with the Joneses is part of life. For those of you that live in very wealthy zip codes, whether it's in a West Coast, East Coast, Midwest, wherever it may be, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you live in a very wealthy neighborhood, you just kind of fall in that trap of wanting to keep up with the Joneses. You know, here I am. It's like I have the same exact homes as everyone else. You know, these are multi-million-dollar homes, and I see one neighbor with a brand new Ferrari, another one with a Lamborghini, another one with this and that, and I wanted that too. I want that too. And for those that don't understand, you're like, well, why would you do that? It's like, don't you have enough willpower to keep yourself from doing that? No, actually, you don't. And it comes down to just being young with peer pressure. I mean, everyone has experienced peer pressure in one lifetime and another, whether you're adolescence and even coming of age into an adult. There's always peer pressure. And when you're in an environment that really focuses on materialism, where do you live? Or should I say is, what's your zip code? What type of home do you have? What type of car do you have? They look at your watch. Oh, is that a Rolex? Which Rolex is it? Oh, is it just a Rolex Explorer? Oh, yeah, you know, everybody has one of those. Or is it a $30,000 or $50,000, you know, all gold Rolex, presidential day date with diamond encrusted bezel? And people size you up by the way you, by what you wear, your accessories, and how you carry yourself. And the assumptions just got annoying. And some of you can understand this. You know, when you are the sole person in that group and you're the most, everyone labels you as the most successful with the most money. So when you go out, they expect you to pay the bill. And yes, I am more than happy to do that. I have other friends that are extremely wealthy, extremely successful, that always pick up the tab. But the way I am, the way I grew up, is you have to reciprocate. You know, I don't care how wealthy you are, but if you pick up a tab, I want to pick up the next one. I want to take you out to dinner. I want to treat you to stuff. But yeah, I may not be able to afford, you know, this big extravagant thing that you did, but I still want to pay you back to show my respect and say thank you. But when you live in an environment like in Southern California or just California in general in these rich zip codes, these assumptions just kind of come up. You just kind of, these leeches just kind of latch onto you. And they're very good at finding these type of people to latch onto. And they just kind of ride on their coattails. And that gets annoying. And if you're not experiencing yourself personally, you're seeing this. You're seeing these leeches. And it just gets to the point where you're like, I want to get away from this environment. It's not conducive to my mental health. It's not also not conducive to my financial well-being. I'm spending money. I have four cars, a boat, and a plane. What the hell did I need that for? Made no sense at all. I have not a second home, I have a third home, fourth home, fifth home, sixth home. Why do I need all these for? Because you want to keep up with the Joneses. And during a conversation, you want to be, oh yeah, well, my home in Hawaii, in Ko'olina Kai, and I got a home in Taos, New Mexico. I've got a beautiful loft in Chicago. I have this and that. You fall in that trap. And it's not just for the rich folks, but also for the middle class. They want to get away because they're tired of all the drama that comes in that area. I mean, my wife and I were just talking about this afternoon. You know, well, actually, it was this morning. We were out on a walk. And, you know, she's 10 years younger than I am. And, I mean, she looks amazing for her age. I mean, literally, she's in her 30s. And, she looks like she's in her 20s. And she's like, you know, I see your point. As I get older too, I want less friends. As I get older too, you're my best friend, and that's it. And I'm okay with that. And when you grow up in an environment and you see the same people over and over again, and a lot of these people have problems, everybody has problems, but some people have more problems than others. Some people have so many problems, they want to share the problems with you. They want to share that burden with you. And that just sucks out the energy. You call the, you know, the term for that is emotional vampires. And it's draining. You know, when you constantly, these people, they call you and you know, in a conversation, it's all about them. They don't ask you, how are you doing? How's your family? So tell me about what's going on. Right away, it goes to, hey, how's it going? Oh, well, let me tell you what's going on with my life and blah, 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 blah. This, I have this problem and that problem, this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. Feel sorry for me. And a lot of people are surrounded by that nonsense. And it, like I said, it doesn't matter rich or poor. Everybody has those type of surroundings. And actually, rich people have more those type of blood-sucking leeches than any other demographic. And people just want out. They just want to get away from that nonsense. And that's one of the reasons why I fled to Costa Rica. Because it was nice to have that peace and quiet. But obviously, Costa Rica didn't really fit And as I say many times, didn't check out all of my boxes as an expat and my needs as an expat. So I came here to Thailand, which checked off all my boxes and then some. Well, here in Thailand, it's nice because first of all, so automatically, you're not going to have a lot of friends. So you have the time. When I first came here, excuse me, let me just, went for a swim this morning, so I still got this chlorine in my nose. So when you come to a foreign country, when I first come to a foreign country, it's kind of nice because you don't have any friends. So you get to spend more time with yourself. Or if you're here with your husband or just with your wife, the nice thing is that you're not surrounded by nonsense. So first and foremost, it's going to make your relationship stronger. So a lot of people, obviously, there are problems in relationships. Relationships go up and down, and hopefully for most of you, it's always up. It's always doing well. But every once in a while, you have a dip in your relationship. And if you really want to find out if your partner is the right person for you, is the best test is to go to a foreign country, just the both of you, spend 3 months in that country. You'll figure out if you're meant to be together or you're not meant to be together. That's a key indicator right there. And a lot of times when you're in a foreign country, let's say like in Thailand, because there's so many things to do and so many new things to explore, with you and your significant other, you get to start doing stuff together. And again, my wife and I were talking on this morning during our walk, and we say, I can never understand why couples have separate lives. They have separate hobbies. They take separate vacations. Like for an example, it's so common with men to take up golf, but that's just a guy's thing. I do that with my guys. So wife, stay home. You're not invited. That's what I do with the guys. And with women, I have my ladies group. We do this. Guys, you're not invited. It's just for the women. And I completely understand why people need that separation. But as my wife and I, you know, because we are best friends, and that's one of the great things about, and I'm so lucky because all my life I've been looking for a best friend, and when I find that best friend, I'm going to marry her, and I did. So she's my best friend. So we love doing everything together. For an example, she's never golfed. She wants to learn how to do that, and I'm more than happy to teach her. I want her to golf with me. I don't want to go golfing with the guys. I want to go golfing with my wife. My wife enjoys badminton, and I want to take up badminton because I want to try it too. So I want to try some of her stuff and her hobbies, doing stuff together. That's what strengthens a relationship. If you're into physical fitness, like working out, anything that has to do with health, you see a lot of quotes out there. And one of the most famous quotes out there is, couples that work out together stay together. And again, the quote is, couples that work out together stay together. And that is very, very true. It's just a very common thing. If couples have a common hobby and do that common hobby, whether it's working out, going deep sea fishing, snowboarding, skiing, whatever activities, but when you do it together, it does strengthen your relationship. So when you're in a foreign country together, like in Thailand, because there's so many cool things to do, so many different provinces to explore, you have no time to bicker about the stupid things that you were bickering about that were over nonsense back in Sydney or back when you lived in London. I mean, think about some of those times when you had the stupidest, ridiculous arguments about the most tiny little incident. Significant thing, and that little tiny little thing snowballed into something so huge where you're like in a verge of like getting a divorce, a separation. Well, you don't have time to do that. You're enjoying stuff together. You're exploring new provinces. You're going island hopping down south. You're searching for some of the best food places to eat in Bangkok. Maybe you're even going to follow the Michelin guide and go to every mom and pop Michelin rated restaurant because, you know, the traditional restaurants that are Michelin, 1 or 2 star Michelin rated are very expensive. But we have street food, street vendors, mom and pop restaurants that are Michelin rated and they are in a Michelin guide. That's a fun thing to do together. Or maybe going to a different province up north or central Thailand, or going next door to Laos, Cambodia, or Vietnam. There's always something to do together. When you're seeking new experiences with a significant other, it makes you closer. Because you don't have time about the stupid stuff anymore. You're not worried about those little tiny quirks that irritate you about this individual. Because you're basically almost, should I say, is you're getting to know each other again. And if you're a solo traveler like I was for such a long time before my wife, traveling alone, living in different countries alone, searching the world for the next Newport Beach was a way I found myself. It was a way that I could experience the world and get to know myself without the noise and the influence of friends or acquaintances dictating and influencing me. I'm a very strong-willed person, but it doesn't matter how strong-willed you are, you're still going to be influenced by friends and family. But when you're traveling by yourself, you are your sole influence. I remember so well, so clearly, when I first went to Spain, I went to Madrid, and I was there for, it's the world's largest real estate show at the time. And after the show, everybody left, and I spent a week in Spain, thinking that, hey, maybe this might be a future place where I want to live. And I remember so well, you know, here I am, I had my iPod at the time. So back then, you know, we had our iPhones and our iPods. Well, actually, even back then, I don't think we had iPhones yet. I think I was still using my BlackBerry or my Nokia type of BlackBerry, and I had my iPod. And I remember so clearly, you know, at the time, my favorite group was Maroon 5. Still is. I still like Maroon 5. And I take the subway to the center of town. And I got off the subway and I was walking to Plaza Mayor. So Plaza Mayor, if you look at anywhere, any postcard moment in Madrid, it's that big plaza and there's a lot of shops and restaurants and tapas bars everywhere. So I remember I was walking to Plaza Mayor, the sun was going down and I had my music on and I'm listening to Maroon 5. And I'm just walking and I finally get to Plaza Mayor. And it was just that moment. It was emotional in a sense was I really loved the fact that here I am in Madrid, in Plaza Mayor, sitting, having a glass of wine. I had some tapas. I had some anchovies in olive oil. I had some octopus, which is one of my favorites, that's poached. And then I had some jamón. Obviously, you gotta have jamón when you're in Spain. And here I am. I'm just, you know, just enjoying by myself. I'm looking around and I'm not feeling insecure at all, because I'm really the only solo traveler that I see. Every place I see is it's couples, it's families together. So here I am sitting at a table by myself, but I'm perfectly happy. I'm smiling, listening to music. And at that time, I finally said, wow, you know, for an individual that was so insecure when I was young, I always had to be around people. I had had lots of friends because I was a very insecure individual. To now, to be able to come here by myself and smile and have this great meal, this appetizer, it made me feel good. It made me feel powerful. And how many times can you actually say that in your life? When you can say, this experience made me powerful. It made me better. There are very few times in people's life when you can actually say that. And it did. And then after that, after I finished that, I love to get lost in the city. Most people are deathly afraid to get lost in the city. So after that, I just walked. And I got lost. I walked for, I would say, probably about 3 hours. Finally found my way back to the subway and then went back to the hotel. But it was one of the most magical, one of the best experiences I ever had. And the following day, I came back. My hotel, my concierge desk, made a reservation to Botin. And Botin is the oldest restaurant that's still running today in the world. It's an Guinness World Record for the oldest standing restaurant still running. And Botin is in Plaza Mayor, and I think it's been in existence for maybe 200 years. And I got the first available appointment. I think it opened like maybe at, I don't know, it was like maybe 7 or something like that. Everyone kind of eats late. Actually, most people eat like around 10. And I remember going to Botin, and here I am waiting in the queue to get in. Everyone gets seated, and then I go further down this rickety stairs to this cave, to this downstairs. It looks like a dungeon. And again, here I am. I'm eating their house special, which is their roasted suckling pig. I have a carafe of their house wine. And this is roast suckling pig with some potatoes. And then I ordered, it was an expensive dish. It's little baby eels. And again, I just have this big giant smile and grin in my face. And I'm looking around. I am the only solo traveler. Everybody that's there is with their significant other, because it's a very romantic restaurant, or family. But I'm smiling and having a good time. I'm not insecure. I'm looking down or facing a wall. I'm facing the people. I'm looking around. Everybody's happy, because everyone's happy. I'm also happy too. And again, that just made me feel good. And it's moments like that when you tell yourself, that's why I want to live overseas. It's to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of that boredom. You know, when you're living in, let's say you live in Sydney. You've been living there all your life. Everything's the same. It's like going to McDonald's, and you've been going to McDonald's for the last 30 years or 40 years, and you're stuck with the same menu, the quarter pounder with cheese, the double cheeseburgers, Big Macs, Filet-O-Fish, fries, you know, the little apple pies, but you're stuck with the same menu all your life, not knowing that there's something so much better outside of that. Till this day, one of the best, well, no, it's the best burger I've ever had in my life was in Bordeaux, France. And in Bordeaux, there's, you know, they take pride in their meat. And here's this burger that is basically, it has the same quality as if you would have steak tartare. So it was cooked rare. And it was topped with a fat piece of foie gras with some little greens on top. And they had kind of like this type of mayo type of dressing on top. That was the best burger I've ever had in my life. I went back quite a few times. It's stuff like that that people forget. You can experience things like that. When you're having McDonald's every single day and you have never experienced like this burger in Bordeaux or like some of the best roasted suckling pig I ever had, which was in Botin in Madrid, Spain. When you don't know these kind of things, you're missing a huge part of your life. Life isn't about waking up, going to work, coming back from work, eating dinner, sitting in front of TV, repeat the same exact thing. Or when you're retired, in the same exact place where you've been working all your life. Now, you don't have work to go to. You wake up and you figure out, crap, what the hell am I going to do today? I'll go golfing? But I've golfed in that same golf course for like 30 years. I know every single divot, every single thing about this golf course. It's not even fun anymore. We go to the same stores, the same restaurants. And again, it's like McDonald's. What I'm saying is these are the reasons why individuals move overseas. They seek a change in their life. And these changes in life are positive changes. It strengthens their relationships. Like I just said about husbands and wives, families. Going overseas strengthens your relationships. Or if anything, it's going to tell you that you're not meant to be with this person. But most of the time, it's going to strengthen your relationship. The other thing too is because everything is so new that you want to see everything and experience everything. So it keeps you occupied. It gives you something to do. And that's one of the reasons why I love Thailand, especially here in Bangkok, is there's always something to do. You know, like where we live, wake up in the morning, my wife and I went for a walk. We walked to our favorite breakfast place and took a walk and just kind of bought some. We bought some baby pineapples. I love the baby pineapples, so good here. And that is durian season right now, so we bought some durian. So don't judge durian. It's really, really good. It is an acquired taste like sushi. It doesn't taste like sushi, but once you love it, oh man, it's so good. So we bought some durian and then we walk back home. And it's stuff like that. Thailand always gives you something to do. And when people don't understand this type of living, let me give you a good example. Have you ever been to a destination where, let's say you live somewhere in the Midwest? Because when you look in the United States, the zoning is very definite. So you have residential area, you have commercial area. And residential areas are huge. So it's not like you have stores and restaurants within walking distance. It's very rare. You only see that in major metropolises like in New York or maybe in LA or in downtown areas. Like where I lived in Newport Beach, I was not just walking distance to the harbor and to the beach, but also to all a bunch of restaurants and bars and all sorts of cool stuff. But remember this. Remember going to, let's say you're from the Midwest and you go to Huntington Beach and you stay in downtown Huntington Beach in one of the hotels. And you tell yourself, you're like, oh, this place is great because I'm within walking distance of everything because it's so new to you. Because Americans don't live that type of lifestyle where everything is so close to you, where you can walk to it. We have to hop in a car to do everything. Even if Walmart is only less than a mile away, you're not going to walk to it. You're going to hop in your car. You're going to drive there. It's just how Americans are. Australia is very similar. New Zealand is very similar. And even the UK, depending on where you live, very similar. Even though people in Europe tend to walk a little bit more. And in our older cities where you do have some parts of the, depending on where you live in London, you can walk to different bars and restaurants. But when you look at newer countries like the United States, it's not designed like that. So when you go to a destination like, let's say, Huntington Beach, and you're staying in downtown Huntington Beach, you're like, this is awesome. It's so convenient. Wow, wake up in the morning. We'll walk down to the pier. And it's unfortunate that I guess Ruby's closed on the pier, which is his hamburger place. And let's just pretend it's still open. You walk to the pier. It's beautiful. You put your name in for your family on the list to have breakfast at Ruby's. Then you have breakfast at Ruby's. You have your French toast, your pancakes and eggs and so forth. Then you walk on the pier, maybe go down to the beach and take another walk. Maybe walk to Dog Beach. And then in the evening, there's all sorts of restaurants and bars. You're like, this is great. It's so convenient. Exactly. That's the point. Convenience. Being able to walk to everything truly does make life better. And there are very, very few countries that are designed that way. Asia more so than anywhere else in the world because of high density living. Even beach communities. Even places like in Jomtien Pattaya, where you live, you are within walking distance of everything, not just to the beach, restaurants, bars, deep tissue massage, everything, other resorts. And that's what makes life great. To be able to wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know what? I don't need to get in the car and go get something. I don't need that inconvenience. I can literally wake up, walk maybe a minute, and I can have a plethora of places to eat, and cheap too. So it's that spark. It's that something new. It's that newness, that new car smell. It's getting away from McDonald's and going to In-N-Out Burger. It's getting out of McDonald's and getting a smash burger. Or even going to that burger joint that nobody's ever heard of, but it's the best freaking hidden secret in the world. And then the other thing too is obviously finances. This is cheaper. It's not just the poor middle class that move overseas. It's the rich too. They move overseas because they want to get away from the noise. They want to get away from the douchiness. They want to get away from the blood-sucking leeches that surround them. And they go to these hidden getaways because nobody knows who they are. That's one of the great things also about Thailand. There's so many people here, and there's tourists and people that live here from all around the world. It's a huge melting pot, but nobody knows who you are. Like if you're some A-list celebrity and you're walking around, you're like, hey, that kind of looks like so-and-so. But nah, that can't be him. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Unless you're like that BTS singing group out of Korea or like Blackpink. Okay, yeah, okay, maybe you may have some problems. But if you're some Western, you all look the same to them. Unfortunately, that's true. Just like you think that all Asians look the same too. They don't care. So you can be someone, but going to a country like Thailand, be a nobody. And some people really want that. They want to be a nobody. They want to be left alone because they want some peace and quiet. So that's, you know, that's kind of the gist, and that's kind of what I want to go over today, because everything's going to be opening up soon. The research that you've been doing over the last year can finally come to reality. Maybe it might be time to move or make the decision to buy that home and make the transition, whether it's a year, 2, 3 years. But all I can say is get out of your comfort zone. The comfort zone is what is making, what's going to keep your life short. Being in a comfort zone is going to keep you from living an insignificant and boring life. Nobody wants a boring life. Trust me, nobody wants that. Everybody wants spark in their life. And that's why you move overseas. You want something different. You want different surroundings. That's why people from the Midwest flock to places like Southern Florida, like the Southwest, like Arizona and Nevada. Why people from California flock to the Southwest because they want to get away from the expensive cost of living in California. You know, people come to foreign countries because they realize, okay, well, we think we have a lot of money, but we actually don't. So when a couple sits down and look at their finances, and it's a very sad fact that actually a lot of couples actually don't actually do this together. But you really should. Sit down and look at your finances. If you look at your finances and you're like, okay, we got $2 million, and this is based on savings and 401k, pension, whole nine yards. Let's include Social Security in there. But let's just say overall between, you know, you're maybe 50 years old, and your expected life expectancy is, let's just say, 77 or even 80. See, let's just make it 80. You have a good 30 years left to live. A lot of people nowadays are like, oh crap, I think we're going to outlive our money. That's why these reverse mortgages are so popular right now. And that's also the reasons why individuals realize that even if you have a million, 2 million, that is just not enough to live in North America, in Australia, New Zealand, in the UK, any English-speaking country, it's not enough for you to live. You have to make much more money, because every single year, every 5-10 years, you really have to scale back because your money's getting less and less. And don't forget about inflation. Everything's getting more and more expensive. So that means you have to sacrifice on things. You can't go out to eat as much. You can't do this. You can't change out your car. And what if you need to replace your roof? What if your AC goes out? What if your car breaks down? What if you have a major medical emergency? The United States has one of the most expensive and outrageous healthcare costs. Where here in foreign countries, we have excellent healthcare at a fraction of the price. And you can get health insurance here too. So that's also the other reasons why people look elsewhere. They want a future that they can depend on. They want a future that they know that they don't have to sacrifice. That here they are in their 50. They know that if they're calculating this right, based on inflation, that when they're 60, they have to cut back on a lot of things. And then as their health deteriorates, they're going to get sicker and maybe have to go to hospital. They'll cut back even more. Maybe they might have to do a reverse mortgage where they're hoping maybe they're going to leave their home to their children. But now they can't because they have to do a reverse mortgage. People don't realize that there are other options for you. Like here in Thailand, where, oh my God, if you just had $1 million, if you had $1 million between you and your husband or you and your wife, including your two homes that you pay free and clear here, oh, you have enough money to live to 100 and live like king and queens. Having $1 million here in Thailand would be the same equivalent of having $4 to $5 million in the United States or in the UK. It goes that much further, that much further. It's not just doubling, not just saying, oh, if you have $1 million in Thailand, it's the equivalent of, you know, $2 million. No, it's like the equivalent of $4 to $5 million. Your money goes 4 to 5 times further. Because remember, everything here is less. Association dues, property taxes, utilities. You don't have to have a car. If you have a car, car insurance is super cheap. Healthcare costs is a fraction of what it is. I go to the dentist, I get teeth cleaning. I pay between $20 to $30. If you want to get for an example, like a friend of mine just got a recent root canal in the States. I think they paid $2,000. $2,000 is still out of pocket. $2,000. He's older, so he's, you know, so he uses like one of those like Humana or something like that. So they barely paid they paid like $50 of their bill. So he still had to pay like $2,000 for the root canal. The same root canal here in Thailand, because Thailand is world renowned, not just for healthcare, but world renowned for dentistry. People from all over, especially from Australia, New Zealand, UK, come to Thailand for work on their teeth. Something that would cost you $20,000 in Sydney, Australia, or Melbourne, Australia, it would probably cost you $3,000 to $4,000 here. And I know this for a fact because I've met those individuals, those older people that have come to Thailand strictly for dental work. But a root canal here would cost about $200 to $300, if even that. So everything here is cheaper. That's why your money goes further. And also the pampering. You can have a housekeeper. You can have a live-in nurse or a nurse that comes on a regular basis. How much does a housekeeper cost in the States? It's expensive. Could you imagine being able to have a housekeeper that lives in your home, does everything for you, and only costs like $300 a month? That's it. To have the same exact equivalent in the States would cost you $2,000 to $3,000, at least that much. At least that much. So you get pampered here. So you truly live like a king and queen. And don't forget about all the opportunities. you know, I talk about this in one of my podcasts, is one of the biggest mistakes expats make is when they look at a foreign destination, they forget that when they get bored, which they will, well, they have opportunities to do some part-time work, where most Latin countries, they're not going to have that advantage. Where here in Thailand, especially in Bangkok and some of these large beach cities, there's tons of work. There's lots of volunteering you can do. There's teaching English. You can open a store. There's just so much. There's so many opportunities here for you that aren't available in other expat havens. So it keeps you alive. And isn't that the idea? Isn't that the idea of not just being awake and being alive and just being an air breather? Don't you want to be alive and thriving and happy and healthy? But healthy mind and body. Not just being healthy mind, but being extremely overweight and unhealthy, because you see a lot of that in the States, because America's getting fatter and fatter. And I talk about the health benefits here. Thailand, because of automatic portion control, you're going to lose weight because you're going to be walking more and doing stuff and eating healthier. It's just an automatic thing that happens here. So everything here, you know, if you haven't been listening to my podcast, please listen to them, because I am not just painting rainbows and unicorn. I am living this life. You are walking a mile in my shoes when I talk about my life here in Thailand. There's no BS. There's no candy coating. It is true to life. I've looked in Europe. I've looked in southern France. I've looked in Spain, other parts of Europe. I looked all throughout Latin America, different Pacific islands, and nothing compares to Thailand. There's nothing that compares to this country. And here I am, 9 years, going on 10, still scratching the surface, still not bored. When I was in Latin America, I got bored within 6 months, came running back to Newport Beach. Here, no way. There's no freaking way. You know, every once in a while, because I have lost a lot of my friends, because everyone has their own life, and it just happens. And, you know, every once in a while, some of them would send me a message. They're saying, so how's life? You getting tired? You want to come back to the States? Heck no. No way. To give up this lifestyle? No way. I would never, ever go back. Parents are the same. They feel the same. We lived in the States most of our lives. We never want to go back. It's better here. The freedom. The lower cost of living. The excitement. The amazing people. That's one of the things I love about Thailand. That's one of the things I love about Asia. The friendly people. People here are friendly and welcoming. Compassionate. They're not arrogant and all about themselves. Rude, no manners. God, I just despise people with no manners that are rude. It's like, I don't know. We'll save that for a whole other podcast, but I don't want to turn this negative. But the bottom line is, I hope I kind of shed a little light about the state of mind of why people move overseas. And if you're contemplating right now, I know that at least 50% of some of the things that I've experienced and what I went through, you're experiencing the same exact thing. It is definitely the norm. And when you move, when you decide that I'm ready to get out of here, I'm ready to go to a country, all I can say is make sure you're picking the right country. Because it will make a tremendous difference whether you stay in that country for the rest of your retirement life, for the rest of your life, or just stay in that country for 6 months to a year and say, hey, this place is boring, this sucks, I'm out of here. And I found that in too many places. We're here in Thailand. I have yet not even scratched the surface. I have a huge laundry list of not just places to see, things to experience, but also restaurants to eat at. My wife and I have this huge list. We actually keep saving stuff. We're like, we gotta go to this place. We gotta go to this place. Oh my God, this place is open. We gotta go here now. So there's just so many fun things to do. So I hope you found us to be helpful. And I really wish you the best of luck. Because life on the other side, which I call it, life outside of your comfort zone, is much better. And it's not as scary as you think it is. It's no different than moving from one state to a different state. Once you're here, you get used to it. Everybody speaks English here, pretty much in every major city in Thailand. You're going to be like most expats that I have met here in Thailand, why didn't I do this sooner? And I do ask myself that. You might have heard some of my earlier podcast. If I would have known about Thailand back in 2002, I would have never, ever went to Latin America. I'll say that one more time. It's something I do. I don't dwell over it, but it's true. If I would have known about Thailand in 2002, I would have never, ever set foot in Latin America. It would have saved me a lot of time. I finally found my haven. I found my most amazing wife, my best friend. I found a life that it just brings a smile to my face. You know, when you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? When I wake up in the morning, I look at my wife and we decide, where do we want to go eat that morning? What do we want to do? And there's so many different choices. We're always happy. And we know, we're confident that we're going to have a wonderful future together. Yeah, sometimes we'll go and visit the States because she hasn't explored the States, obviously, like a native like me. But we won't be going there too much. We're going to be exploring different parts of Asia. I want to take her to Europe and also Australia and New Zealand. But for the most part, when I ask her, you know, when I ask her, which is really funny, I said, okay, well, what if we won like the lottery? What if we won like this crazy Mega Millions and won like $100 million? Where would you want to live? She's like, here in Thailand. That speaks volumes. When you talk to a native person and they tell you, I love my country, I don't want to leave, that says a lot about that country. And it's true. Myself included. If I were to win Mega Millions tomorrow, I would still live in Thailand. I wouldn't go to Newport Coast and go and buy some $10 million estate and buy a Bugatti and buy all these fancy cars and buy a freaking, you know, maybe a Cirrus jet or maybe that Honda jet. I wouldn't do any of that douchey stuff. I would still live here. Still live in Thailand. Yeah. Maybe there are a couple other homes I would want here and maybe make the homes bigger here. But no, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I hope that says something about this destination. And I hope that says something about why Thailand is something, if you haven't been looking, Thailand is someplace you should consider. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. And like I said, as I wish you the best of luck in your endeavors, make that dream into reality. If you've been thinking about this for a long time, now's the time to do it. Don't do it before it's too late, before you're unhealthy. Do it now, because you definitely won't regret it. I'll talk to you soon.